What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live from the Build Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. If you think about the Philadelphia Eagles, the way they ended last season, and then they got rid of their coordinators, and Nick Sirianni was on the hot seat, and they decided to keep him and then revamp the coaching staff and then go out and get Saquon Barkley. I mean, Howie Roseman took that situation and just made it perfect for this season. Still have work to do. The Commanders are that team right now that scares everybody. I mean, Jaden Daniels and the way that he can handle big moments as a rookie is amazing, but you know, that's what great general managers do, is they assess the situation, they push the right buttons, they got the team right back into hosting an NFC championship game, after they had a down year after a Super Bowl year. So they are going to be tough to beat. However, you know, I got to see, it's almost like everybody forgot about it because they ended up winning the game. We got to see what exactly is going on with Jalen Hurts' knee. I know he was running around a little bit, but as you said many times, those situations, sometimes the adrenaline will carry you through, and then the next day it ends up being a problem. They'll probably get some imaging on it. I mean, that's still something that could heavily affect this NFC Championship game if he's not right.
Well, I would also say yesterday he was holding on to the ball way too long. There were maybe once or twice where he didn't really have an opportunity to get out of there or get rid of the ball. Couple other times he was waiting for things to come down the field and get open. I mean, sometimes you got to throw a guy open, you got to anticipate, you got to get rid of the ball, you got to see the, you know, when they threw the screen to Saquon Barkley out of the end zone and he got the first down.
Yeah.
I mean, that was
trying to come out of the game. You know what's interesting
about
that?
Saquon was trying to come out of the game before
that play. Yeah. And then Sirianni is like, no, we're running this play specifically because of you. That's when he had hurt his wrist.
Right.
So he kept
and
him
then,
and got
then
the
he
first
got
down.
Hit again on the wrist yeah. on the end of that screenplay. But the point being is that they called that play, and that was where the ball was going to go. So it was easy for Jalen to figure that one out. A couple times, you know, he's waiting for guys down the field, kind of like Sam Darnold. It just drives you crazy that he's holding on to it, and whether it's Gainwell or Barkley is standing right in front of him, or Goddard standing right in front of him, and he just will not throw it to them. And it's frustrating because, you know, when he played in the Super Bowl, he had really a great Super Bowl. And
could have been the MVP.
He would have been the MVP had they won.
Could have actually, you could have given it to him in a loss. He was that good.
Exactly. He was amazing in that Super Bowl. And ever since that game, like, something has happened to him. Like, he just never, ever gotten back to that point, even when he was playing his best this season. So if he is a little bit injured going into this game against Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders, if he plays the way that he did yesterday, that's not good enough.
Yeah, I would agree. And, you know, there is something about a team that has just absolutely nothing to lose. And the Philadelphia Eagles, of course, will have more pressure on it. The Lions had so much pressure on them going into the game. So you've got the two things going for you. You have a coach who's been there before in Dan Quinn, who obviously had one of the worst losses in Super Bowl history. But still, the guy has been there. So someone to calm the team down, get them ready. You got a quarterback that is completely unflappable. You've got an entire locker room that is just like now riding the wave. And feeling like anything is possible, you know, going into Philadelphia, which is just, you know, an impossible place to go in and win, it feels like. But the Rams almost did it, you know, and they almost came back, you know, in the snow. I mean, when Puka Nacua caught that ball on the sideline, I was thinking, you know, if the Rams get this done, this could be the worst loss in Eagles history, being up the way they were at home, having the one seed out, meaning you're hosting the NFC Championship game the next week, and have Matthew Stafford and an L.A. team go down the field twice and score two touchdowns in a matter of 4 minutes would have been horrible.
But, oh, it would have been awful. You know, I was thinking after Saquon Barkley scores that touchdown, the defense just became uber passive.
Yeah.
And they were talking about it in terms of the pass rush from the Eagles. It basically disappeared because the Rams were going so fast and they were unable to make any changes and substitutions for the Eagle defensive line. But they went right down the field. And I'm thinking, what is Vic Fangio doing? I mean, like, he's supposed to be the preeminent defensive coordinator in this league. And one of the guys that Sirianni went out and got immediately, maybe it wasn't Sirianni that got him. Maybe it was Howie Roseman that got him. And it turned out that they were able to hold off the Rams at the end there. But, and again, the previous offensive series by the Eagles, Jalen Hurts takes a bad sack.
Yeah. Yeah. Terrible. So that's going to be interesting. I think it's a 5.5-point spread, opened up at 4.5. I think it's 5.5 now, with the Eagles obviously being the favorite. And this Commander story to me, you know, in the resurgence, sure, a lot of people have something to do with it. New ownership, new culture, Dan Quinn,
Cliff Kingsbury, the year before.
You know, whatever. But Tommy
DeVito winning 3 games, right, for the Giants.
Exactly. But this is the point I'm getting to. To me, this is all Jaden Daniels. It's all him. I mean, they might have been slightly better if they didn't get him. This resurgence is all him. And when you have somebody back there that you believe in, then the rest of the team starts believing. And Cliff Kingsbury looks like a genius again. And then Dan Quinn looks like a genius. It's all him.
Yeah, Cliff Kingsbury's going to get an interview with the Cowboys now, looks like.
You know, it is incredible. I mean, and how a great player like that can buoy so many people around him. Like, Cliff Kingsbury was lucky to get back into the league as a coordinator from where he was. He was at the bottom of the barrel when he got fired.
Yeah, but he had a couple years on that contract. He had a lot of money, so he could sit out. He could have sat out for a couple years. And I wouldn't be surprised if he had more offers than we are aware of.
Yeah.
And then he just didn't take them right away because he wanted to enjoy, you know, life as a very rich young man without any responsibilities.
Yeah, I mean, and he definitely was flaunting it and showing it off on social media, all of that. But it's just that those teams fell apart there in Arizona year after year. You just heard a lot of lack of discipline and players running the place and DeAndre Hopkins, this and that. And it was just a weird, weird place. Now he's right back in the mix and he might get a job. He's going to get multiple interviews and might get a job. Because of Jaden Daniels. That's it. Jaden Daniels.
Quinn's going to get coach of the year because of Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, would there anybody else be in that conversation? It's always a team you don't expect to be good.
Washington.
That ends up being
He's
good.
He's got a rookie quarterback. This has already been decided, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
All this stuff has already been decided. But he got them to the playoffs, and he was a... You know, he's not a first-time head coach, but this year he was a rookie head coach. It was his first year with a new team, and, you know, they made it to the playoffs.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Daniels is going to be rookie of the year. Who's the other guy you think? Kevin O'Connell?
Yeah, that would be the only guy being the conversation, but Dan Quinn will probably get it over him. Nobody thought the Vikings were going to be any good, but I mean, for Washington to come completely out of the doldrums, and the Vikings a couple of years ago won 13 games, so... The Commanders were dead. I mean, the Giants were better than the Commanders. So that, and now here they are.
And so now I feel like you see what a talented young quarterback can do for you. The Giants have the 3rd overall pick. Titans need a quarterback. Browns need a quarterback. Giants need a quarterback.
Yep.
They won that one game. That just the Colts game.
Yeah, but you think there might be a blessing in disguise for them.
I kind of do, but...
And you know Shador's not going to Cleveland. There's no way.
Yeah, I know that. Well, the question is, who does Tennessee take?
I think
for me, like, if the Giants stay at 3 and they take Shador, if he's still there, then, you know, he fell to them, and it's kind of like an easy decision. If you're up there at number 1, then all of a sudden you got to choose between 2 guys because you need 2 guys, and neither one of these guys... is like, you know, ranked as a top 10 guy on the draft. It's just that it fits a need, and they're the guys that are up in the queue that you know, they're going to have to take him because they have to have somebody to build around.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it happens every single year as teams that are just desperate, you know, and then they think, listen, you get this guy in here, I'll make him great, convincing themselves of that. I mean, I think that's what happened with J.J. McCarthy. Kevin O'Connell's thinking, hell, I mean, I'll be able to do this. We desperately need to reset at that position. I think the Giants are going to feel that way, too. And also, I mean, what's going on with the Commanders is going to be another reason why there's so much pressure on the Giants to be able to try to match that.
So what does Borgonzi do down in Tennessee now?
I think he takes Cam Ward. That's what I think.
You think he takes Cam Ward, and then Deion says to the Browns, you're not taking my son. We're not going there.
Yeah.
And then do the Raiders jump up to number two to grab Shador?
That would be interesting. That's a big possibility. And the Giants get frozen out again.
Might also be a decent blessing in disguise. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, what are the Giants selling their fans if they don't get Shador Sanders or Cam Ward? What are they selling their fans?
I mean, the beautiful stadium they play in. The game day experience.
You know, it's kind of interesting talking to one of my Giant fan friends yesterday. Will remain nameless. Who basically is sick to his stomach over the fact that he's got to watch Washington and Philadelphia in the NFC Championship game. And the fact that they're going to have to deal with Saquon Barkley for another couple of years and Jane Daniels probably for the next 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
Good luck with that.
10 years, it might be 15.
Well, you never know. But anyway, and he was talking about MetLife and just talking about how it was so dismal and so dour and so negative and pessimistic and every adjective you can use to describe just the negativity that was associated with the place. I said, look, man, if your team was 8-1 as opposed to 1-8, you'd be screaming about home field advantage and what a great atmosphere you have. It's just that your team has been so bad for so long that now that drips into the conversation that you don't like the stadium.
Yeah, but nobody ever liked that place.
Yeah, but if you're winning in there, it's a different story. I'm telling you, if you're winning, it's the biggest stadium in the NFL, by the way.
Yeah.
And okay. If you're winning and everybody's in there and you do have home field advantage, then the negativity isn't going to be attached to the stadium. It's not. That's going to be the last thing you'd be talking about. You're going to be talking about, I can't wait to get to the game. And until you have a player like Jaden Daniels or Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson or Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes, it's not going to change.
Yeah. I mean, I think, though, that all things equal, if you just take out if the team is winning or not, that stadium is a bottom five stadium.
If they draft Quinn Ewers or Jackson Dart.
Oh, God. I don't even know anymore, man. Like, I don't want to even make fun of some of these prospects because anybody could be good.
No, I don't want to make fun of them either. And I hope that they can continue their careers and they can be great and it can turn out to be really good pros. I want that for all those guys. But what I'm saying to you, if it's one of those guys that they draft, are you or any Giant fans running to go re-up your season tickets?
Absolutely not. But I don't think a lot of Giants fans want Shador. I got to be honest with you. Are the Giant fans of your life clamoring for Shador? None of them in my life are.
I'll tell you what, they're clamoring for something. You know, they're and that's
but
the same
what
thing.
Is it? I mean,
and that's
know
the same thing with the Jets too. I mean, like those Jet fans are, they know they have a pretty decent team. I think there's a pretty good nucleus for the Giants too if they all stay healthy. But where is the electrifying, galvanizing player that you would just describing for the Washington Commanders?
Yeah, I mean, the Jets and the Giants are so far away from what we witnessed this weekend, it's not even funny. I mean, it's just, I mean, unless the Giants in 2025 or the Commanders of 2024, if one of those quarterbacks ends up being their quarterback, it is just as good and wins the Offensive Rookie of the Year.
You know, this little run that the Commanders are on reminds me of the 07 Giants.
Well, yeah, in one way, for sure, being a team that's coming out of nowhere. I mean, listen, Eli had been there for a while. He wasn't a rookie. Tom Coughlin had been there for a while. Dan Quinn's in his first year. But as far as coming out of nowhere, going into they actually both went into Tampa, the wild card weekend, and then going up to the number one seed and knocking them off.
That's right. And you have your defensive line for Detroit's a really good offense, so just to hold them to as much as they did, but they put pressure on with that defensive line. The defensive line is underrated, I think.
Yeah, I also think they're going to have a tough time stopping the run against. I mean, everybody has a tough time stopping the run against the Eagles. I think the Commanders are going to have a real tough time. They're going to have to. That's going to be their Achilles heel in this.
Well, they split this year in the regular season, It's a really high-scoring game the last two times these teams played, but Jalen Hurts did not play in the second game. I think it was Kenny Pickett who played in that game.
Yeah.
And but the first game was kind of tight.
Tight.
So, five and a half? I don't know. What do you think?
As I sit here right now, I'm all over the Commanders. So I'm leaning that way, but who the hell knows by the time we get. I can't pick these games for you know what.
I am, but you know what?
So bad at
it. You lose for a point here, a point there. I mean, look.
Still losing.
We're all sitting there watching the Eagles beat the Rams, and all of a sudden they play prevent defense, which almost prevents them to win, and we end up losing the cover.
And how many times here and at Tellers did I say, you know, there's something about, like, you know, the Commanders coming in with nothing to lose and all the pressure being on the Lions. I said it a million times. But I'm like, I can't do that because all I'm doing is because I have such a hardcore Lions bias, like to the negative, that I can't do that because now I'm just, my mind is warped and then the Lions are going to win and I'm just convincing myself. I'm confirmation biasing the thing I want to happen. And then I, of course, it ends up going that way.
You know, so my man Frank Reich sent me a text before the game started yesterday. And he basically said, I'm getting a funny feeling Washington's going to surprise Detroit. That was on Saturday. And he goes, it's going to be the Eagles and the Bills in the Super Bowl. That's what he thinks.
Okay. You know, we were talking about how America wanted the Lions so much in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a very sad football fan America, I guess, now that they're out.
Now it's got to be Buffalo.
So it's
Washington and Jaden Daniels.
So that's what I was going to say. So Washington. I mean, but that's like,
Josh Allen, Jaden Daniels, head to head. That'd be a pretty good Super Bowl.
It would be exciting. I mean, I think also the Eagles and the Bills would be a good game. But just having a fresh team in there, team you haven't seen in the Super Bowl in a very long time, an exciting young quarterback.
Well, this, you know, plus now the Chiefs got, and Caitlin Clark is a Chiefs fan. So now she's in the box with Taylor Swift.
Yep.
So this is all trending towards Kansas City going to the Super Bowl again.
Yeah, of course. I mean, when is it not? You know? It always is. Everybody's had it.
Yes, look at
that. Everybody's had it with the Chiefs.
Friends, everybody's getting
everybody's had it with the Chiefs. You think those guys that sit right in front of the box there are security?
No.
I mean, that's really trusting those people, isn't it? They're right there.
What are they going to do? They love those people.
What are they going to do? You watch the news?
But Taylor Swift, one of the most popular people in the world, and so is Caitlin Clark when it comes to sports.
Did you see the Caitlin Clark stalker, by the way?
Oh, that's psycho, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so what do you mean? Buy a ticket, you know you're going to be up there, and you get that googly-eyed Charles Manson lookalike all of a sudden drooling all over himself.
That jackass from Long Island? There's a lot of jackasses from Long Island.
I don't think that guy was.
Are you sure?
Maybe. I don't know. We're going to have to take a look.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Not sure what's running on my computer.
Okay.
We're not sure.
It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Sounded like Evan Roberts was running on your
computer.
Maybe
it's the FAN. Yes. Why do they do that on the FAN YouTube page? Just running.
Oh, okay.
So I probably gave them 19,000 views for having it on for 3 seconds.
You were watching the Evan and Tiki program on YouTube in there.
No, I wanted to see the FAN YouTube page, but they have a whole like 20-minute segment of Evan, and that must be their featured video, so it automatically plays when you go to the page.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know they did that these days with like an automatic play.
Yeah.
With volume.
I wanted to see how the Al and Jerry, because they are on YouTube now, Al and Jerry.
You were uploading the post-game podcast on YouTube now.
Yes, it's not going great.
Not great. Well, what's not going great?
No one's watching it.
Other than that part.
Oh, I thought like there was like a technical problem or something.
No. I wish there were. I wish I could use that excuse.
Maybe the technicalities of YouTube.
Well, have you promoted that it's on there at all?
No.
Okay,
but
well.
It's still there.
Every Tom, Dick, Harry, and jerk-off in this world is now starting a YouTube channel.
It's true. And this is on the WFAN YouTube channel?
Yeah, which has 66,000 subscribers, and we're getting 700 views.
Jerry,
Well, I mean, I haven't seen either one of you promoted on X, though. You know what I'm talking
about? You can't promote anything on X. Anything with a link or it just gets
blocked.
Yeah, it gets just so pushed down in the algorithms.
Okay. I mean, you could put out just a regular tweet without a link and be like, hey, go to the YouTube.
That's true.
Yeah, but legitimately, if you use the word YouTube, it's... Really? I've tried so many different things. These algorithms know everything. They know you're promoting something. It will push it down.
Interesting. Unless you pay.
You can say podcast, pod, show, YouTube, Instagram. You can't say any of that stuff or you will be...
Damn.
Yeah.
They really figured all this out, huh?
They're keeping the man down.
I thought we were all about free speech, Al.
We are. They just don't want you leaving the platform.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Jerry, let's see what you got this hour.
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. How about, I believe he is now 99-year-old Marv Levy with a message on social media, God bless him, to the Buffalo fans as they were getting set for this big game last night.
To all you great Buffalo Bills fans, Marv Levy here. And I, like you, am so proud of this year's Buffalo Bills teams and wish them and you all the best of luck. Where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Bless you all.
We should be so lucky that in 99, we are still doing that.
Sounded like that was coming from heaven.
No. He was in his living room or something. Okay. Anyhow, then his Bills went out there and were able to hold off the Ravens.
For the tie, the two-point conversion. Lamar takes the snap, rolls to the right, throws, complete. No!
He dropped it!
Mark Andrews hit him in the hands! And Mark Andrews dropped it as he fell into the end zone.
Yeah, that's a my mistake, I apologize moment when you say it's complete and it's not been there.
My bad.
Right. 27-25 was the final as the Bills come up with the win. Lamar Jackson did have an interception and a lost fumble to go along with 254 through the air and a couple of touchdowns, which is why we blew it as a team, he says, not Mark Andrews for dropping that pass or fumbling midway through the fourth quarter.
It's a team effort out there. You know, he's been busting his behind, making plays happen out down that field for us. Came up short. And like I've been saying all season, every time we're in situations like this, turnovers play a factor. Penalties play a factor. Tonight, the turnover, you can't have that.
No, you can't. And the one thing he kept going back to was this play. CBS Sports Network just played Von Miller returning his fumble like 40 yards or so. He knows that fumble was a killer.
Going back to the fumble, I still got to hold on to the ball. When bad snap, hold on to the ball, just go down. You know, it's a playoff game. I mean, knowing that, split second, I'm just trying to make something happen, you know, but... Just go down.
But he didn't.
What was interesting about Lamar yesterday, he didn't wear any sleeves.
Yeah. Nobody on the Ravens offense had sleeves on, I think. I was paying attention.
I mean, you know, that was, what was it, about 2 degrees last night?
It was pretty cold.
Woo! Josh Allen sleeves, right?
100%.
Here was Dawson Knox, how he and the Bills offense stayed even keeled throughout.
We just got to control what we can control. Not worrying about what's going to happen when the offense is off the field. The offense trusting the defense trusting the offense.
Yeah, playing complimentary football. And so you get Buffalo advancing to the AFC title game Sunday night in Kansas City. Now, you had the Chiefs beat the Texans Saturday 23-14. You had the issue with the special teams coach and Chris Boyd.
Yeah.
So here was Boyd, and his name is Frank Ross. I guess he's the special teams coordinator or one of the assistant coaches. Here was Boyd. So what happened with Ross? This is in relation, I think, when he was asked about shoving him. He answered it this way.
Oh, just lit emotions. Thought it was a great play. It was a dumb play. Just keep the helmet on. You know, play smart. That's it.
Okay, maybe that's it. But then he was asked about, like, the shove.
It just looked like, from at least from the videos, like you pushed your coach. Were you and him... Just kind of what happened, and then what was his reaction after that?
Did you I had talked to him in the pod because he said that. I'm like, what you mean? I'm like, I got a turnover, but then he's like, nah, like that's not why I was coming to talk to you. And he was just telling me, like, you know, you can't do things like that, just keep your composure. There was 6 seconds at the beginning of the game, we got a whole nother ball game to play.
Like, what is he talking about?
I have no idea. I'm completely confused. And that reporter was scared to death to ask him that question.
It's like, looks like from the video that you might have pushed your coach. What are you talking about?
You know what it is? The special teams coaches and the special teams players, especially on kickoff return, punt return, it is so like they're so hyped up, especially at the beginning of these games, that sometimes they have these out-of-body experiences. And I think that's what happened with this kid. Like, he took his helmet off. He was out of his mind. And here comes the coach. What are you doing? What are you doing? And he's over. He's killing the coach. It's like it's not a mean spirited thing. It's more of an emotional outburst type of thing that is representing to the coaches and his teammates. I know it's wrong, but he's all into it. He's all hyped up.
Well, that's what he said. Lit emotions.
Yeah, exactly. So I didn't. When I saw it, it was like, oh my god, they're getting into a fight. And then I'm thinking to myself, nah. You know, I've seen my guys do that with their. Special teams coaches. Because the special teams coach is always trying to get them to be up.
Special teams coaches are nuts. Every single one of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Crazy person.
I remember Mike Westhoff. You guys stand here on the sideline. So when they come out of running out of bounds, you run into the guy standing on the sideline. They're always thinking out of the box.
Yep.
They're crazy. Funny.
So I was searching this morning. I was searching for, Lions press conferences, Texans press conferences. And one of the things that came across the old algorithm on YouTube. You want to talk about going into the archives. The audio is not great because obviously someone taped this off the Boomer and Carton show back in the day and posted it on YouTube. But I thought it was funny that it came across right after one of the Texans press conferences. Listen to the names involved in this Al Dukes song that was called Let's Beat J.J. Watt. Do you remember this? Any chance?
Kind of.
Okay. If you have this, I got to send it to J.J.
Listen to these names.
Reuben Randall.
Do you have that somewhere? You got that clean somewhere?
I'm sure we can find that somewhere.
You got to find that.
I think it was posted, I think, in 2014 or 15. So we're 10 years back in the archives. So I thought that was kind of funny. What else? We got the Eagles and the Rams last night. This was Saquon Barkley's first touchdown run. We heard Ian Eagle last hour. This is Eagles Radio.
Eagles are 1-for-2 on third downs. They have to get to their own 42 for a first down. Hurts in the gun. Hurts gives off to Barkley. He's got a first down and more. 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Saquon Barkley!
He did it
62
again.
62 yards!
Yeah, well, then he would go for 78 yards later in the game. 205 in total. Part
Keith
of the Eagles.
Lincoln? I've never heard that name before in my life.
And Keith what team Lincoln. Is that?
That's the Chargers. It's the old Chargers.
That's an interesting logo.
The Chargers logo with
I've
the horse
I've never
head.
Seen that logo before.
Neither have I.
The interesting thing is the Eagles offense must have seen something about the alignment of the Rams defense because both plays that Saquon scored on were the same play. They just went to the opposite direction. So they must have saw something on film and they said, you know what? We can exploit this particular look and we can do this. And it worked twice. It worked brilliantly.
Part of a 28-22 win. Here was Nick Sirianni. Barkley, really something. We mentioned the 205 yesterday. So in the two games against the Rams this year, he ran for 460.
Given the conditions or not in the conditions, it don't matter. It's a luxury to have him. That's for darn sure. Love him. I can't say enough good things about him and the leadership that he brings to this football team and just everything he brings to this football team. He's special.
He's also the only celebrated new addition running back that is moving on to the championship round. Right? Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, all those guys.
Joe Mixon.
They're all out. He's the only running back that's moving forward because I think... Right, well, I guess Austin Eckler was an ad, but really didn't have the impact because he was hurt.
Yep.
I'm trying to think. Kansas City, they brought in Kareem Hunt because of all the injuries. Meh. You got James Cook up and Ty Johnson. He's always making plays. That guy's a playmaker.
The Rams almost came back and won this game. So they went down 13, scored a touchdown, got Philly to go three and out, got the ball back, and got within into the red zone. They did not score. Matthew Stafford on fourth down went incomplete. Here was Sean McVay. Really thought they were going to win the game, and Stafford was amazing.
29-28 is all that I saw. There was nothing you could tell me, Dylan, that wasn't going to go down like that. And he did that. And unfortunately, we had a miscommunication on the third and four that put us back where you book a special player when we probably could have converted on that play.
But they didn't. I think he's talking about the sack, I think.
That
really hurt them. And here was Stafford. He was asked about his time in L.A. and going forward.
Anytime you come up short, it's even tougher, you know, and so that's difficult. But so proud to be associated with this group. And as far as my future goes, I mean, it's 30 minutes after the last game, so I'll take some time to think about it. But I feel like I was playing some pretty good ball.
Did you guys by any chance notice the one shot of him when he took his helmet off?
And the gray beard?
He looked like an 1850s president. Terrible hair, the scraggly like facial. Right. He looked like a mess.
Yeah, tuberculosis.
Something like that. Anyhow, so Philadelphia will be home for Washington Sunday NFC Championship game. Here is Dan Quinn, Jaden Daniels, so calm, so clutch, just continues to get it done.
If he was a basketball player, he'd want the last shot. As a ball player, he wants the ball in his hands to make the difference, and he makes great decisions with the football. And that takes real mindfulness. Sometimes the best play may be, hey, I got to throw this away. He uses his legs.
That throw to Noah Brown that got them to about the right side of the field, about the 3 or 4 yard line. There was a hand on Noah Brown's face, and his eyes were closed, and the ball landed exactly where his hands were. I mean, I've never seen that.
Look, he was, he wasn't even sacked this week, and you see the blitzes coming at him, and you see him standing in the pocket, delivering it to the open guy, reading the hot reads, as they call them, and that's when you know a guy is locked in, and he has played so far beyond, you know, his NFL experience. He had a lot of experience playing in college, and it's showing itself now.
Tonight in Atlanta, college football national championship game, Ohio State 13-2, Notre Dame 14-1. They'll kick it off after 7:30. The Dodgers signing relief pitcher Tanner Scott, 4 years, $72 million. The Thunder beat the Nets 127-101. You've got the Knicks home for the Hawks today. That tip-off will be just after 3 p.m. On the Fan tonight, we will have Rutgers and Penn State pregame at 6:15, opening tip right after 6:30. The Rangers did lose in overtime to the Canadiens. 5-4, Patrick Laine, the game-winning goal. The Senators beat the Devils 2-1. Artem Zub with the go-ahead goal in the third, and the Islanders home for the Blue Jackets.
It's still funny. It hasn't lost its novelty yet.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I was in the midst of an all-time trivia question answer when we came back from break there, and now my brain is elsewhere. But it was, there are five or six?
Well, Jaden Daniels makes six.
Right.
So there were five other rookie quarterbacks who started in either an NFC or an AFC championship game. You got Flacco, you got Roethlisberger, and you got Brock Purdy.
Okay.
Now, there's two more. One is pretty obvious because it actually happened here.
Oh, of course. Of course. I know. It's Mark Sanchez.
Mark Sanchez.
Right.
And the other one is probably Al was a big fan of.
Buccaneers.
Oh, Sean King.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, there you go.
Sean King, good one. I should have.
You remember that game against the Rams where there was a catch and there wasn't a catch? Wasn't he in that? He was the quarterback for that game.
Yeah, and is that
Ricky Prohl one?
Changed the rule, I think.
Yeah, they changed the rule after that.
Was that Ricky Prohl? Is that who that was?
The Ram receiver.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe it was him.
I thought it was a Buccaneers receiver.
Ricky Prohl may have been involved in another thing.
But I kind of remember that was Tony Dungy's team, right?
Yes.
And they lost at the Rams, and there was a controversial play in there, and I think Sean King was the quarterback. And I think there was either a completion that was called an incompletion.
Bert Emanuel.
Ah, yeah.
Hey, the fact that I can remember that's pretty good.
Yeah. I'd have to admit, pretty good.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah. All right. The Sanchez one I should have thought of immediately. I was, for whatever reason, thinking like success and Jets and Giants never really goes into my head. But when you said it happened here, obviously, yes. that was the clue. But I'm happy with the other ones. The other ones. You know, the Flacco one, people forget about how good that guy was when he first, you know, got into the league.
He was the energy that that team needed.
Which is hilarious because he's never known for energy.
Well, he, you know, it was Lamar Jackson who took over for him because there was a lack of energy.
Yeah. But that Super Bowl he won and the way he played and he bet on himself and went into that offseason and got that contract, I mean, he was unbelievable.
Yes,
he was. Sean King is me and you and Sean King.
Yes.
What Super Bowl is this?
Look, now? I'm wearing
this is Arizona.
Polo. I'm wearing the same outfit today.
Are you?
Look at this.
That's crazy.
Let's see. Sean, you put on some pounds.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Look at your outfit. What is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that was my white vest that I got. Yeah, I love that thing. I was the best. Al told me I was the best dressed guy on Radio Row that day.
Oh, really?
Oh, I was, yeah.
Was that the day that Kay Adams grabbed your boobie or no?
No, that was when I was wearing the Casamigos sweatshirt. You grabbed my boobie. But yeah, I wonder if that was pre norovirus for you right there.
Yeah, you missed the Thursday show, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Bert Emanuel. Just stick with that.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a fact as you remembered that and there was a catch in the whole thing because we're not going to.
Or not.
Let's not test the memory anymore.
I think it was
called
an incomplete pass and I think it ultimately should have been a catch because there was no replay.
Let's talk to our friend down in Houston, Radimus. What's going on, Radimus?
Hey, what's up, boys? How y'all doing today, man? It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been too long, man. What do you got for us?
Hey, so, you know, all I want to say is, you know, fly, Eagles, fly. You're looking real good. Another thing. Thank you, Giants, for Saquon Barkley. I just wanted to make that public. Thank you so much. But I don't know, guys. Jalen Hurts, I don't think he's the guy, man. I don't think he's the guy. He's not the Super Bowl-looking quarterback that we had a while ago. So, Boomer, Gio, tell me something. Give me hope, because I don't have any. I think we're going to get our butt whooped.
Really?
Wow.
Radimus, what are you
doing? Say that. You got Saquon Barkley. You see what Saquon Barkley's doing? He's doing legendary stuff.
Yeah, they dropped 45 points on the Detroit Lions. That was supposed to be going to the Super Bowl, guys. Come on.
Yeah, but Detroit Lions' defense is so screwed up.
Right, hold on. Radimus, where are you right now?
Oh, my bad. I was just loading up my truck.
Jesus, with what? A pound of nails? Like 70 pounds of nails?
No, just putting up the rent. Doing a delivery, so putting up the rent.
All right. It's very, very loud. So we're going to have to let you go, Radimus. But I just want to make sure you're okay. And this wasn't some sort of like hostage phone call situation.
No, we're good. If I needed you guys to save me, I know Boomer got the podcast. So I would definitely call and say, Boomer, help me out.
So what made you a Yankees fan and an Eagles fan?
Well, you know, Yankees, the Bronx, grew up in the Bronx. Can't be a Boston fan, can't be a Blue Jay fan. Even though Boston Red Sox always had the Dominican guys, Yankees was just the way to go. I was able to see.
Well, that's easy. You grew up in the Bronx, you're a Yankees fan. How'd you become an Eagles fan?
You know, I don't know if I can say this on the radio. You know, the Giants were just too white of a team for me. The Jets always sucked. And then, you know, freaking, what do you call it?
The Eagles Giants always, were too white of a team for you?
Boomer,
was that when Phil Simms was the quarterback? Because then I could understand that.
I don't know, because I was born in 92, so I don't even know if I saw him.
No, you didn't see him, no.
All right, so around what year did you decide the Giants were too white for you?
You know, just when I started seeing the Eagles with Mike Vick, Donovan McNabb, freaking LeSean McCoy. You know, all those boys, man, you know, I'm a crazy dude, so I gotta, you know, Eagles fans are crazy, so I consider myself one of those people.
All right, so let's see. So Donovan McNabb was drafted, that was like 1999, right?
99, maybe,
99.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a look. Well, thanks, Radimus. You have a good day.
I have the Giants quarterbacks in 1992, which is what he said originally.
Yeah, that's when he was born.
Oh, okay.
That's when he was born. So you figure like...
That'd go like 99, 2000, 2001, which would be Kerry Collins.
Yeah. Yep. So that team...
In 99, they had Kent Graham and Kerry Collins.
Yeah. Those guys are really
very white.
Yeah, very white.
Wow.
Yeah, very white.
Wow. All right, go ahead.
Well, you want now 2000?
Yeah, well, but yeah, as he's growing up, yeah.
And I remember Jason Sehorn was a white cornerback on that team, so he might have a point.
Yeah, but they got Cooper DeJean down there now.
Yeah, but
and they got Blankenship as a safety.
Yeah, but he's like, this was a seminal moment for him. Like, now he's already an Eagles fan. You know?
I mean, not for nothing, but we're all white guys on the radio here.
Yeah,
and
of
we're
course.
His favorite radio show.
That is true.
It was Kerry Collins, then Jesse Palmer as a backup into Kurt Warner, Eli Manning.
Nothing gets more whiter than that.
Right. It's funny how the Giants were too white for him, but this show is not.